Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Instead, you put your light on the inside of us, Father, so that we become light in the same way that you are light. Because your word says you are the light of the world. You are a city on a hill. And Father, we as a church, we want to live. We want to be lights. We want to be those people you've called us to be. Father, we don't want to settle for one foot in the world and one foot in your kingdom. We don't want to settle for just being a lamp in the corner. Father, we want to be the light you've called us to be. That light that pierces right through the darkness. That light that shines. That light that exposes. That light that overtakes. That life that replaces the darkness with your light, Father, so that many who are currently in darkness can come out of that darkness and into the light of who you are. Oh, Jesus, Father, would you just download your heart in our lives today? Father, where there's any conformity and familiarity, Father, would you burn that with the light of who you are, with the light of your word, by the power of your Holy Spirit? Father, I thank you not called us to be complainers or people with opinions or those judging what's going on. Father, you called us to be light. You called us to be hope. You've called us to be people that know their destiny and know their purpose, know why they're here, and can take that life and that light, hope of the world, out to the world. Just ask the Holy Spirit just to come upon you afresh this morning, wherever you are. Just invite him. Holy Spirit, would you speak to me this morning? Thank you. Give me ears to hear what you are saying today. I thank you for a ready, responsive heart to respond to you today, to be part of the answer, not part of any problems in any way, but part of the answer of what you're doing on earth as it is in heaven. What you've already released in heaven, I thank you, you release on earth through your people, through the body of Christ. And Father, I want to be one of those people of light. I want to be one of those that shines. I want to be one of those right on the front line of what you're doing. One of the shining ones. One of the ones that's been completely invaded by the glory of who you are. The majesty of who you are. The brightness of who you are. The light of who you are, Father. So I live in that way on the front line. Father, I don't want to be in the back row of the crowd, just looking on, just meandering around in my life. But I want to be right on the front row, right on the front line, right on that front end of what you're doing, being a shining one. Somebody who's carrying the light and the life and the power, the supernatural nature of who you are. In my home, in my family, with my neighbors, friends, work colleagues, everywhere I go, Jesus, you've called me to be light. You've chosen me to be light. And you are the light of who you are on the inside of me. And Father, I want that light to shine. I want that light to shine. I don't want to keep it under a bushel. I don't want to keep it under a shade. I don't want to keep it in the corner. I want that light to shine. That light to shine. Just thank you for spiritual backbone. Thank you for that spiritual courage. Thank you for boldness. Now, wherever you are, just raise your voice. Just, Father, I thank you for spiritual backbone. I thank you for spiritual courage. I thank you for boldness in this day and in this hour where the enemy's seeking to shut everything down. He doesn't care what people get into. The devil does not care what people get into as long as they do not discover their destiny in God. As long as they don't find who God is, the devil does not care what people get into. And the enemy's trying to shut the voice of God down on the earth through the church, and he'll do it whichever way he can. But there's something stronger on the inside of the church. There's something stronger on the inside of you and I. There's something stronger than anything the enemy could do in our world, in our nation, in our region, in our town, in our street, in our home. There's something stronger, and his name is Jesus, and he lives on the inside of us. As Gary said, he is the victory. He has a name, and his name is Jesus. We have the Savior, and his name is Jesus. We have the healer, and his name is Jesus. We have the deliverer, and his name is Jesus. We have the one who is the Savior of the world, living on the inside of us. in the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. Oh, I thank you that you breathe into every person afresh in this room now. Thank you. You breathe like Ezekiel when he prayed for the dry bones, and then he said, breath of God, come from the four corners and breathe. Father, I thank you. You breathe life into every person in here in a fresh way this morning. Maybe just raise your hands. Father, I thank you. You breathe your life afresh today. Breathe your life. Spirit of God, would you breathe afresh into every person today? Breathe by your word as we go into your word. Breathe by your spirit and your word into every person. Father, would you strengthen every person's spirit today? Would you breathe afresh into every life today? Would you breathe into every spirit right now, Father? I thank you for the breath of God that's strengthening life into people's mortal bodies, your life afresh right now. Breath of God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Father, I thank you for Daniels in this generation, where the enemy sought to take a generation of young people into captivity through Nebuchadnezzar in that generation of time, to try and change their identity, to seduce them with that Babylonian lifestyle, food and wine from the king's table, the things of the day and the culture, to seduce them in so they'll say, this is pretty good, this kingdom. It's not Jerusalem, but this is really cool, and we can give our lives to this. Where the enemy sought to seduce them in that generation of time, there were just four young guys, Father, that stood up and said, no, we've resolved in our heart, we are not going to give in to what is around us. We're not going to give in to the culture of today, the spirit of the hour that's seeking to take a generation of people out. Something was stronger on the inside of them. Their conviction, the reality of God, their knowing of who he was stronger on the inside of them than the pressure coming from outside of them. And in that moment, they spoke up. Your favor went before them. And ultimately, the whole nation had a decree from the king to say everybody has to bow their knee to the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Father, that seems impossible in the natural in our nation. But yet you are the God of the impossible. You're the one who does miracles. And Father, I thank you for a release of miracle faith in this church. Miracle faith in our lives. Miracle faith in every person in this place. To hear from you, to believe for the impossible. To see what seems to be impossible for man, but is possible with God. Father, I thank you for miracle faith in kingdom faith. Miracle faith in kingdom faith. How many of you want miracle faith? Come on, you need to respond this morning to what God is saying. God wants to move us and shift us into another gear as a people, as a church. Shift us out of any slumber there might be, any familiarity there might be, anything that could hold you back. God wants to shift us out of any of that and shift us into another gear in terms of how we move with him, cooperate with him, work with him. Miracle faith. Miracle faith. That's what God wants to release into our lives. To be light. To be the people he's called us to be. Every day of our lives affecting those around us, both saved and unsaved. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we praise your name. We exalt your name. We magnify your name. Oh, Father, give us an understanding. Would you just give us that understanding of how you see life? That we would see life in the world from your perspective. That we wouldn't just see it from our perspective, trying to look up and that we're just in the midst of so much stuff, but give us your perspective so we see, how you think, how you work, so that we then think and work and live in the same way that you do on earth through our lives. So we're not just caught up by the everyday things of life and then we attach you somewhere. But we live from the inside out, from who you are, what you're saying, that determines our thinking, our decisions, our lifestyle, our actions, how we think, how we pray, how we act, how we speak, how we spend our money. Everything, Father, we would live from the inside out and not the outside in. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. Father, I thank you. You're just grabbing hold of us by the scruff of the neck this morning to encourage, to build us. Where there's anything in us that just needs shaking by you this morning, anything that could affect how we go forward, how we live with you and with one another. Thank you that you're speaking in a way that just rattles those things off, shakes those things off. So what we're left with is who you are, what you're saying, and how you've called us to be as a people. So there's nothing that we're wearing in our lives that holds us back in this race you've called us to. That we'd be fit for purpose in every way, shape, and form. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Is anybody else alive here this morning? Anybody else awake here today? I don't know if I'm just up here on my own doing whatever, but Father, I thank you. I praise your name. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just grab a seat for a moment or for a few minutes. Thank you, Jesus. We'll just carry on. It's already kind of happening. You guys can keep playing if you want. It'd be nice. God's been speaking to me about light, and maybe for the next few weeks or however long, our overall thing will be light. What does it mean to be a people of light? And, you know, the enemy, as we know, we don't want to just go over stuff that we already know, but the enemy in every generation seems to ramp up what he's doing. Sin is sin at the end of the day, and there's always been stuff that's gone on in every generation that completely, you know, tries to take a generation out. And in one sense, you could say, in this current generation of time, are things worse than they ever have been? I don't know. And we don't want to get into all of that and say, my, you know, poor us, we're in the worst time ever and all of that kind of thing. But what we do know is the enemy's at work. And the enemy works in darkness. And darkness captures people. Darkness holds people captive. And Jesus came to set people free from the darkness, to bring them into light. And for most of us probably in the room, we're not living in darkness any longer. We're now living in the light of who he is. We have been set free. We have been forgiven. God has done an amazing thing in our lives. But what does it mean to be a people of light? What does it mean to have the light of the world on the inside of us? What does it mean to have the power of this light in us so this light can shine in the world in the way that God has called us to and wants us to be that light? Genesis 1, first few verses, probably you're going to know them really well. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. But then God said, it's the first thing that the universe heard. The first thing the universe heard when God spoke was, let there be light. That's the first thing that was heard. It wasn't let there be love or let there be this or let there be the other. He said, let there be light. God always operates in light because he is light. And there was light. God saw that it was good and separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning. It's funny, when you read through that first chapter, it's not until day 4 that he actually creates the sun and the moon and the stars. So for those first 2 or 3 days, he was the light. So even though he created the plants and the trees on day 3 and all of that, they obviously got their life and everything because he was light. He was life. And anything that is going to come alive requires light. If you sit in a dark room that's completely dark and you sat in there for days on end, days on end, days on end, you begin to shut down. Your skin would begin to be affected. Your whole psyche would begin to be affected. Why? Because darkness shuts people down. If you sat in the sun and sunbathed for a long time, that sounds good. If you're out in the sun, what does it do? It opens people up. It lifts people's head. It does something in your skin that brings out the right vitamins and everything else. There's something about being in the light. You can see where you're going. You can see what you're doing. Light brings life. But also faith requires light. So when God speaks, what does he do to release faith? He gives you revelation. He brings light where there's not understanding. When that light is released, faith then comes into operation. You then begin to see something you didn't see before. And because you now see something with faith that you didn't see before, you can then take those steps of faith in the light, because God is revealing something of his light and his life into our lives. Most of you will know this, but light only works when it has something to actually reflect off of. So you got the sun that we get our light from in the natural. And there's loads of darkness, loads of space all around the sun. And the things when you use a telescope that you can see are the planets. But it's the sun for reflecting onto those planets that is why you can see them. But all around where there are no planets, it's just darkness, it's space. There's nothing, because there's nothing for the light to reflect on. And so there's this natural light that we have, it's called the sun, but there's a supernatural light that we have. Jesus didn't just want his light to reflect off our lives. Instead, he said, no, I'm going to come right into the depth of your life. And everything of darkness that is in your life, the power of sin, everything that could separate somebody from me, I'm going to come on the inside, and the light of who I am is going to deal with every darkness, so that you become a person of light, so that you can then shine that light and not just reflect it, us trying to be godly or whatever. But he says, I'm going to come and live in you with the light of who I am. That's why he then says, you are the light of the world. Because we have the light and the power of who God is on the inside of us. How many of you are awake this morning? Are you alive? You're glad you're here, or would you rather have stayed at home in bed this morning? I don't know. You're quite quiet today. Maybe I'm just having a bit of a batter at you today. I don't know. But we know we live in a dark world. We're not here to take on the system. We're not here to take on the system, the governmental system, or this system, the other system. We're here to see lives transformed. In any system, in any government, in any organization, there are people. People make decisions. People make choices. People make laws. People make governmental things, you know, and things change as a result. But a lot of those things happen because of how people are living their lives, the mindset they have, the values they have. And that filters in, and then laws are changed in relation to people's lifestyles and wants and how they pressure group certain, you know, pressure to get this and the other passed through. It's not that there's some big thing out there called the government or some organization out there. It's all made up of people. And we're not here to take on the system. We're here to see people's lives transformed. Because it's people that decide how they live. It's people that decide the decisions they make. It's people who decide what they do, how they treat others. And God has called us as people of light to bring light into the world. So who defines who we are? Does the world define who we are? Does the latest politics define who we are? Do the natural disasters in the world define who we are? Do terrorists define who we are? Does somebody down the road define who we are? Does your work colleague define who you are? Does your boss define who you are? Who defines who we are as the church? It's Christ that defines who we are. By his Spirit, he changes and transforms us to be like him. It's His covenants that determine who we are. His forgiveness determines who we are. What He has done for us determines who we are. It's I no longer who lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. So it's Christ who determines who I am. Why? Because we are a people of the Word. We are a people of the Spirit. Because we are the light of the world. Because we are a city on the hill. Because we are salt and light. Because we are disciples and witnesses and Christ followers. Because we are apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers and pastors. Because we are children of God. Because we are forgiven. Because we are free. Because we are favored. Because we are called and chosen. Because we are warriors and worshipers. Because He's called us to be history makers. We are the church. We are the church. We are those that are filled with the light of who He is. And the gates of hell will not overcome us. The church. Spiritual backbone. That's what God puts in us with the authority of His word. This is the authority of God on earth. His word. When He speaks into our lives, what's He doing? Yes, He's sowing the seed of His word in our lives that we then want to cultivate so it grows in us. But when He speaks into our lives, He's speaking the authority of who He is down into the depths of our being, so that how we think and believe and live and act is shaped by the authority of His word. So what's the real battle going on around us? It's who's in charge. That's the battle. It's about authority. That's what's going on around us in the world today. The battles that are going on. Who's in charge? Nations rise against nation. People doing this, that, and the other. Ultimately, there's darkness and there is light. People are either operating under the influence of darkness or under the influence of the light of who God is. It's an authority battle. Who's in charge? Now, we know as believers, the ultimate authority is God, and He is in charge. He has a plan of salvation, and He is working that out on the earth. But there's stuff going on that is not what God wants on the earth. Why? Because God has given man free will to choose. Any relationship of love must have free will at the heart of it. And God in His sovereignty gave us as people free will to choose. Pretty much most of what's going on in the world, this negative, is due to man choosing what he wants to do in the way he wants to do it. And amazingly, in God's mercy, He doesn't deal with us as we deserve. One day there'll be a day where we're all going to have to give an account, both as individuals and as nations, as to how we responded to God's word. But the amazing thing, God is holding His mercy. He's got His mercy holding off His judgment at this time over the earth. So there is time for people like you and me, who are people of the light, to take the light of who He is with mercy, love, compassion, in the same way that somebody brought that message to us. And we responded out of the darkness that captivated us, out of the guilt and the shame and the pain that we were living in. We responded to a merciful God who loved us, accepted us in that moment, forgave us of everything that we'd done that separated from Him. Then He embraced us into a relationship and a covenant that He was never, ever gonna break. He will never, ever let you down in any way, shape, or form. He is not just committed to you, He is covenanted to you and I. So He cannot go back on His word, because His word is a covenant with you and I that He is unfailing, He is unchanging, and He will never go back on what He says. So we're bound to Him. We're bound to Him. I love that, don't you? There's a phrase in the Old Testament, it talks about being bound to the horns of the altar. You know, being tied to the horns, it's being tied to God, bound to Him. I don't know about you, I don't want to go anywhere else than being bound to who He is. I don't want to be bound to anything else, anybody else, except Him in the way that He is covenanted with you and me. Are you here this morning? Are you doing all right? Do you want a break? All right. I'm trying to find the page I'm supposed to be on. Father, I thank You that You are passionate about this world. You are passionate about people. Father, you are passionate about those that don't know you, about the state of our society and our nation and beyond. Yet, Father, we see on the day of Pentecost, when you came by your Spirit, you empowered those 120 or so believers with your Holy Spirit to then take the gospel to the four corners of the world. And Father, I thank you. You've given us the power. You've given us your Holy Spirit to enable us to live in you, to enable us to live free from darkness. You've given us the power in our lives to overcome every temptation. There's nothing that can tempt us, that can seize us beyond anything that we can bear, because we have your Holy Spirit on the inside of us. We can rise up and overcome that. Father, I thank you for giving us the power that we need for everything in life. There's nothing that we lack. You've given us everything we need to live clean, to live pure, to live holy, to live with you. We thank you, Father. You've given us your Holy Spirit to be a witness, to see people healed and delivered and set free. Father, I thank you we have the same Spirit on the inside of us that Jesus had when he walked the earth. Father, I thank you we have the same Spirit that is alive today in us, in the church, that was alive 2,000 years ago and that when you birthed the thing in Jerusalem that day. And Father, I thank you the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love, that you enable us to love the world in the way that you love the world. Thank you, it's not a love that condemns and judges and criticizes, but it's a love that of compassion. It's a love that moves us to act in your name. It's a love that is pure, a love that is holy. Father, I thank you. I praise you for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Ephesians, just want to read through this. Then we're going to pray. Ephesians chapter 5. It's a powerful chapter where Paul is writing to the Ephesians. And he's saying to these guys about living in the light, about being a people of light, living as children of light. And he goes from chapter 4 into chapter 5. And he then says here, beginning of 5, verse 1, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. We can only be imitators of God if we have his light on the inside of us. We can't, in our own effort, be imitators of God. It's down to his light being on the inside. Be imitators of God and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now we're going to look at some stuff that our natural thing, flesh, you know, here we go, is going to get a bit challenging. But verse 3, but among you, there must not be even a hint, not even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. A people of light. God is light. There is no darkness in him at all. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, because these are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, an image worshipper, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness. Interesting how it says here in this verse, it doesn't say you had darkness. It said you were darkness. We were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Light, what does light do? Light shines, light exposes. For it's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. That means coming out of darkness into light, coming into your salvation, that Christ's light shines on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. We don't want to talk about all the evil and go into the details. We know what's going on around us. You just hear the news and it's just one thing after another, day after day. What we are here to do is to be light, to bring light into people's darkness. Freedom where there's captivity, healing where there's sickness, salvation where people need to be saved. Father, we thank you. We praise your name. You've called us to be light, a city on a hill, a light to the world, salt and light, flavor. Jesus, we thank you. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Obviously, when we respond in any, we can only respond personally. I can't respond in a general prayer for what you want to respond to this morning, but we're just going to go through some of those verses, and anything in our hearts, anything. It's like, Jesus, I don't want any darkness. I don't want to have anything hidden. I don't want to have anything going on in me that is any kind of, I don't want to cooperate with the darkness in any way, shape or form. I just want to live in the light of who you are. Father, there's a world out there that is in darkness. One of the phrases, God, I was writing something down the other day, and God said to me, the world is living in darkness with its eyes open, but doesn't realize that it's living in darkness. Because you talk to somebody and they're like, well, I can see everything, or I can, you know, this, that and the other. But the world is in darkness with their eyes open. They can't see what they're living in. And we don't want to cooperate with the darkness in any way, shape or form. So let's just pray for the next few minutes. Firstly, it says, be imitators of God. Let's just respond and tell the Lord, Father, I want to be an imitator of you. I want to be like you. I want the light of your life afresh to be shining in me in every way, shape or form. Maybe just say, Father, would you put your spotlight on me, on my heart right now. Put your spotlight on me. Shine. Show me anything in the next few minutes where there's any kind of darkness or shadows, anything at all, Jesus, that I just need to throw off, I need to get rid of, I might need to repent of anything, Jesus, because I don't want anything of the darkness that is in me. You say, have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. I don't want anything to do with it in action, in my mind, in any way. Jesus, I want to live in the light of who you are. Let's be aggressive and violent with the darkness. What do you reckon? Aggressive and darkness with the darkness. Be imitators of God, therefore. As dearly loved children, live a life of love. Just maybe say to Father, I want to live in your love. I want to live a life of love. As Christ loved, as you love me, I want to love you and I want to love others. As you gave yourself up for me as a fragrant offering and sacrifice, I want to give my life for you, Jesus. I want to give my life for those around me. I want to give my life to whoever you want me to give my life to. Maybe when we pray this sort of stuff, it's easy to go, well, I don't feel like that's something I want to do. But in your heart, ask yourself the question, is that what you want? Not, is that how you feel? But you want to live in the light. If you want to live in the light, then just start putting words to your prayer this morning. And when you sometimes put words to your prayer, something in your heart begins to change. Something in your heart begins to respond. Something begins to heat up. Something begins to get stoked. Something begins to get bellowed by the Holy Spirit as we begin to pray. Say, Jesus, yes, I want to be like you, but there's other bits in me. Think, oh, what does that mean? But I choose. I want to be like you. I want to love like you. I want to lay my life down like you. Jesus, I don't know what that means, but I want to go in that direction. I thank you that everything else is going to catch up with choosing to make decisions this morning to live as a person of light. I thank you that my feelings and everything else will catch up at some other point in the next few minutes or today, tomorrow, whenever, but I choose. I want to go in that direction. I want to live in the light of who you are, Jesus. But among you, it says, there must not be any hint of sexual immorality, anything at all, any hint of any sexual immorality, anything like that, that it might be going, just so I'm not having that in my life. I throw that off. Trains of thinking, the way you might look at other people, little looks, this, that, and the other, all that kind of stuff. A hint, even a hint, he says. It's not just the obvious kind of, well, that's an obvious thing, you know. It's little hints, anything. I don't want to give any room whatsoever to the enemy to try and put a little hook in me that he then begins to reel me in. And we're there before I realize it, something's going on in my heart, not just my mind. I don't want a hint. What's the opposite to that? I want purity. I want to live clean. I want to live pure. I thank you that I have the spirit of purity, the spirit who has cleansed me from every sin. I thank you for the spirit of purity on the inside. Thank you. I can look at others in a pure way without any other motive or hint of any sexual immorality or anything that is unclean in any way. I thank you. I have a spirit of purity. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Or of any kind of greed. Maybe there's stuff you want. There's stuff you've been looking at the internet. There's stuff you, I'd like to buy this, I'd like to have that. All of that, maybe just park all of that lot. Say, Jesus, I thank you that you're the supplier of everything that I need. That you're my source. I don't want to live wanting stuff or wanting certain things. I want to be completely satisfied in you. I don't want to self-medicate on anything else because I'm trying to feel something. I thank you that you are my fulfillment. You are my satisfaction. That whether I have plenty or whether I don't have a lot at all, my life's not based on what I have or don't have, because my fulfillment and sense of worth and value and everything comes from you. So I thank you that greed is not part of my heart or my life, but totally being satisfied in you is who I am as a child of God. So maybe there has been some stuff you think, well, I'd like this, like that, and the other. Father, I choose to let go of all that stuff. That stuff was not going to make my life better. That's a bit of a lie of the enemy, isn't it? If you had this, you'd have a better life. If you, you know, all that kind of stuff that so many people in the world have. If I just get this, my life would be better. And then they get it, it doesn't do what they think, and then they're after the next thing. Why? Because it's a chase for something that's never going to satisfy, because the only one that satisfies is Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sounds so simple, doesn't it, when we say that, but yet we know it's true. There must not be any sexual immorality, impurity, greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, anything like that. If you know you're still having an issue with swearing, stuff comes out your mouth at times, and you're like, wow, where did that come from? Well, it comes from the heart. That's where it comes from. So maybe if you know you have issues with some of your language or some of the stuff you say, the jokes and the various, I don't know, things you pick up on, you know, little quips you make with other people, that at the end of the day, they're not holy, they're not clean, they're not pure. There's something, as Paul says here, that is foolish or coarse in some way or obscene. Father, it's a heart thing, not just a mouth thing. From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Just surrender your heart afresh to the Lord. Father, I just surrender my heart. Thank you that you give me a pure heart, a clean heart. And would you just continue to work in my heart? Father, I thank you that what's going to flow out my mouth from today is clean and pure and holy. No more coarse joking, no more obscenities, anything like that. Just thank God that from today, that stuff's cut off right now. Father, I thank you that what's going to come out of my mouth is going to encourage, it's going to build, it's going to strengthen people's lives. I thank you, Father, for a pure heart, a clean heart. He says here, what's going to flow instead is thanksgiving. Thankful heart, a thankful heart. For this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person such as man is an idolater. His inheritance, he won't have an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ or of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Because of these things, God's wrath is coming. Just submit yourself to the word of God afresh. If we submit ourselves to anything else except the word, that's how we begin to get deceived. When we begin to listen to stuff or take on board things that are not in line with the word. Even how we think, if it's not in line with the word, then it's in line with something else or what somebody else has said. So let's just surrender our minds afresh to him. Father, I just surrender my mind, my thinking. I surrender to your word afresh. I thank you that your word is the authority in my life. I thank you that your word is the authority in my life. And I just surrender afresh to the authority of your word, the plumb line of your word. I thank you. Your word is the backbone in my life. Your word is the courage and the strength and the life of who you are in me. I thank you. Your word brings light on the inside of me. So that light shines on the inside. So there's no place and room for any darkness. Anything else we just prayed, anything else cannot stand in the light of who you are. So, Father, I thank you. As I hide your word in my heart, I will not be able to sin against you. I won't be able to do something because your word is alive on the inside. Your word is fueling me. Your word has got a hold of me. Your word is like a fire on the inside. I thank you for the fire of your word. Maybe just thank you for that, that the word will become like fire inside of you. Like Jeremiah said, I had to speak. His word was like a fire shut up within my bones. Father, I want your word to be like a fire that's on the inside of me, so that what comes out is your word. It just has to come out because I can't keep it in, because I'm consumed with your word. I'm consumed with your light. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, verse 6, I don't want to be a person of empty words. I don't want to be a person of empty words. I want to be a person of life when I speak. Amen. How many of you want that? Thank you, Jesus. We don't want to be partners with any other things we've just been talking about. Verse 6, you were once darkness. Just thank him that you're not darkness anymore. But just thank him. Now I am light in the Lord. That's what it says. Now you are light in the Lord. Just thank him. Father, I thank you that I am light in you right now. Live as children of light. If we have light, let's not hide it. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Just thank him for his goodness right now, wherever you are. Thank him for the goodness of his life, the righteousness that you have in Christ Jesus. Thank him for the power of the truth that is at work in you right now. I thank you, Jesus. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that we go around pointing the finger. It doesn't mean let's go around telling everybody where they're wrong, where the darkness is. It says, but rather expose them. What does that mean? It means as we live our lives as a witness, as we live our lives as a people of light, the Holy Spirit reveals to other people the darkness that is in their lives. When we share our testimony, we talk about Jesus, and we have the opportunity to witness to friends, family, whoever it is. It's the Holy Spirit that then exposes in people's hearts their need to know God. It's the Holy Spirit that exposes by the light of who we are. It then exposes the darkness in this world. God's not called us to stand on a soapbox and say, hey, this is where everything's going wrong because we're right. No, he's saying, be the people of light I've called you to be. And that will bring a conviction into people's lives. Conviction, that deep conviction leads to godly sorrow and repentance in people's hearts and lives. Does anybody believe this morning? And so that's what it means to expose them. It's not we go around telling everybody where they're right or wrong. For it's shameful to even mention what the disobedient do in secret. For everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. That's why. Wake up, O sleeper. Rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. Just thank him you're alive in him this morning. Thank him you're alive in him this morning. Maybe make a little bit more noise than that. But just join me. Begin to preach the message with me this morning. Begin to preach the message with me this morning. Come on, just thank the Lord. Thank you. I'm not asleep any longer. I'm not a sleeper. I'm not dead any longer, but I'm now alive in Christ. I'm one that shines his light, shines who he is today. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Then it says, verse 15 of chapter 5, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Maybe just close your eyes a minute. It says, be very careful. This is Paul speaking to the Ephesians. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Where do we get our wisdom from? Our wisdom comes from him. For he is our wisdom. So if we say, Father, would you make me wise? He'll say, I sure will, but go to my word. And as you go to my word, as you read my word, I'll show you how to live. And as you live in the way that I show you how to live, you will live as wise, not as unwise. Because when you're living your life and you're finding me in the word, then when things come up, you'll have this spiritual barometer that shows you, yes, this is the right way. No, don't go anywhere near that, because you'll have the light of who I am leading you and showing you what is right. You'll live as wise. And then what flows from that? Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Maybe I think we all probably need to pray this one. We all have opportunities with people that don't know Jesus. We all do. We all know unsaved people. We all know people that God's heart is passionate for. And often we might hold back because we're a bit afraid or we're unsure, we're not, you know, and all the stuff we talked a bit about last week, when we talk about this sort of thing, oh, I don't know if people are going to reject me, like me, they won't want to be friends anymore, all of that sort of stuff. And sometimes we don't step beyond that. But yet Paul says to these guys, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Maybe let's just all say, Father, forgive me for not making the most of every opportunity. Everyone in the room, we can all respond to that one. Father, I ask you to forgive me that I've not made the most of opportunities that have been in front of me. I've held back, or I've not done something, or you've prompted me and I've kind of thought, you know, I've talked myself out of it for whatever reason. And Father, I ask you to forgive me when I've done that. I haven't made the most of those opportunities. And it's amazing how that's connected with wisdom, because sometimes it's not necessarily preaching the gospel at that moment. It might be another action, or the way we treat somebody, or how we are in the workplace. It might be lots of different ways that as we live wise, that is making the most of those opportunities, how we live, and others notice, others see, and then others start to have a conversation with us. Let's not dictate to God how he's got to work through our lives. Let's just be available for him to work in whatever way he wants to work through our lives. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. What a unmodern word that is, which leads to debauchery, to godlessness. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and make music in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all just ask the Lord right now, Father, for his heart for one another, his heart for those that don't know him, his heart for people. Just wherever you are now, Father, I just thank you for a fresh download of your heart, your love for people. Thank you that your love doesn't judge, condemn, criticize, but your love is patient, kind, it's good, it's faithful, gentle, has self-control. Your love is not easily angered. Your love keeps no record of wrongs. Thank you. Your love moves towards. Your love reaches out. Your love goes the extra mile. Your love goes beyond what is asked or expected. Your love is unfailing. Your love is unquenchable. I thank you that your love is powerful, gentle, yet strong, firm. I thank you for your love in me, because you are the light of life who is in me. I praise your name. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pete, can we go into just that part of the song where it goes, I'm
Jesus, no, your bit, word.
The bit that goes into the next bit. Is it the bridge bit or what's the,
I lay my life before you.
We got there.
Yeah.
I cast my crown before you.
Maybe you could just lift your hands while you sing this as
you are
saying, God, I surrender to you afresh this morning.
You are my King.
You're my King. You're my light, Jesus. I thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
I lay my life before you. I cast my crown before you.
Thank you, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
You are Lord.
Yeah, Father, take hold of who we are as a people.
You are my King.
Jesus, Jesus.
Lay my life.
Yeah, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
I cast my crown before. Everything I am is yours. You are my Lord.
Yeah, Jesus. Yeah.
You are my King.
Yes, Lord.
Lay my life.
Yeah.
I lay my life before.
Anybody here today and you don't know Jesus, and you heard all this stuff this morning, but on the inside you're like, I don't have this light that you're talking about. I don't have this life of Jesus. And God's just been doing something in your heart this morning, and you know it's like there's something going on in you. Your heart's beating faster. You've been a bit like, whoa, you know, this is pretty full on, this meeting, or this guy at the front, or the intensity of people singing and all that kind of stuff. But yet you know on the inside, this is real. God's alive. He's real. He's not just a figure of imagination. He's not just a thing a few people are into. He is real. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus, and you're at a place this morning where you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender everything that I am and have to Him. Because that's what it means to follow Jesus. It means I surrender absolutely everything I am to Him. It is an all or nothing message. And as you surrender everything of who you are, everything you have, good, bad, ugly, the lot, everything, the amazing thing is God doesn't exchange, and He gives you everything of who He is in exchange for everything of who you are. It's not just, God, would you come and live in me in who I am, but actually everything I am, I give to you, Jesus. I surrender everything. I need your forgiveness. I need you to clean me on the inside. I want to surrender my life to you. Because I want you in my life. I want to be a person of light, as I've been hearing this morning. If that's you today, if that's you, then I'm just going to just lead something in prayer for a few moments, but then I'd love to chat with you, and there's others who'll chat and pray with you afterwards. If anybody wants to respond this morning, or you've been away from the Lord doing your own thing for a while, and you're back here today and you're like, the reason I came was to get sorted with Jesus, well, here's your moment just to take that first response. Wherever you are, if you need to respond, just tell Him, Jesus, I'm here. I don't understand everything, but what I do know, you're real. Something's going on in me today. I need your forgiveness. I need your forgiveness. And I ask you to clean me up on the inside. Forgive me for everything I've done that is separated from me from you. And Jesus, I give myself to you now. Everything, lock, stock and barrel, the whole lot, I give to you now. In exchange, Father, I ask you to give me who you are. God, would you give me who you are? Would you come into my life today, Jesus? And would you be the light on the inside? Would you be my Lord, would you be in charge from this moment onwards? Jesus, I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I want to follow you for the rest of my life. I don't know what that means, Jesus, but I want to do it. I just know on the inside, I've got to do it. I've got to respond to you today. Father, I just pray right now for anybody in this room who's responding to you in that way. Just taking that first step of surrender, saying, Jesus, I want to take that first step to begin a relationship with you. Father, I thank you that you work in every heart and life that is responding to you in that way this morning. If that's been you today, we'd love to chat with you. Gary, who was leading the meeting earlier, he'll be around. Rachel, his wife, she'll be up here. One or two other guys will be around just to chat and pray with you if you're responding to him this morning. Father, we thank you. Just turn to one or two people around you. Just greet them, say hi to them, welcome them. Just say to them, man, I needed that this morning.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.